Okay, good evening, everyone. I'd like to call this meeting to order of the regular Board of Aldermen, Alderwomen, on Thursday, January 8th, 2026, at 7:06. Please stand for the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call, please.
Mr. Newberg?
Here.
Ms. Petrici?
Here.
Ms. Fidomski?
Here.
Mr. Kurtica?
Present.
Mr. Santos?
Present.
Mr. Sill?
Excuse.
Mr. Chevarella?
Present.
Ms. Falcioni Smith? Mr. Heider? Record should reflect you have 8 members present for a quorum.
Thank you, sir. Number 4, additions, deletions, corrections, and adoption of the agenda. I do have one correction. 6.2.1. The tax refunds, the amount should be $5,244.48. Do I have a motion to accept that
so
correction?
Moved, Sarah.
Made by Sarah. Is there a second? Second by Amy. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. Public portion. Number 5. Anybody from the public like to speak? Please come up, hit the button, state your name and address for the record. I think you know the drill.
Yes, sir. Jim Gilday, primary address 11 Academy Hill Road, secondary address 14 Lakeview Terrace. How's that? Good evening. Again, my name is Jim Gilday. I'm a member of the Derby Board of Education. Just want to read a roll call. Donata Lupacito, Rebecca Bell, Eric O'Toole, Steve Boehner, Veronica DeLulo, Scott Marcuccio, John Ricardo, Bailey Bruce, Jeff Brooks, Josh Dyden, Drew Conlin, Joanne Eddy, Jackie Notham, Christina Kingsbury, Dave Nusso, Jennifer Lucas, Frank Briganti, and Christina Guerra. Those names all have something in common. They were educators in the Derby school system who left us to receive higher pay in other school districts. Quite frankly, about 90% of the people I led on that list were Teacher of the Year candidates, either for the district in their schools. There is no greater asset in educating our students than our teachers. You've just heard about several outstanding educators who left Derby for better pay, and they were the best of the best. This contract that you'll vote on tonight or consider tonight was an effort to invest in our teachers and by an extension to invest in our students. The foundation of any community is its school system. And this contract aimed to reward and retain our top educators. Our students deserve stability, not a revolving door of teachers who leave every 2 years for higher pay. Well, I think we all recognize that this Board of Education has operated with limited resources. We've gotten a 0% and 4 in the last 8 years. That's good. We've made it work, and I'm not even complaining about that. I also believe that there are opportunities for collaboration moving ahead, and that will result in savings. I believe that when you talk to our legislators, which I'm sure the superintendent will amplify later, there will probably most likely be additional monies coming from the state this year that were unanticipated. I urge you not to tie this into budget constraints. This is not about a budget, because I would just ask you to allocate us what you would. Allocate us what you would, and we will, like we have always done, make that work. And if that means tightening resources elsewhere, then that's what we'll do. So again, I would urge you to certainly pass this contract, because the best of the best deserve to be somewhat compensated near their peers. We deserve our students to have stability in our teaching ranks. And again, the tax board can allocate us to whatever they want to allocate. We will make it work. This is not the area to cut. We would have other places to cut. The number one need in a school system, the number one resources are human resources. This is not where to skimp. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Anybody else in the public like to speak?
Hi, Alicia Olenowski, 8 Commodore Hull Drive, teacher for 28 years, also president of the Derby Teachers Union.
Class of 85, too.
Correct. Graduated with Joe. So in listening to what Jim said, I probably can't say it any better than he did. He listed a large variety of names of people who have all left the district. And I hear the same thing over and over. It's not because they don't want to stay here, but they can't turn down the fact that they're making such a large salary increase when they go. So the word stability, Jim mentioned multiple times, and I want to emphasize that the increase in pay is not just an investment in stability, but it's also an investment in the future of our community and in a quality education. If we keep the salary at least competitive with our neighboring towns and districts, we can retain experienced, dedicated educators who directly impact student achievement, culture, and family confidence in our public schools. If our salaries continue to fail to keep pace with other towns and other districts, we are going to face higher turnover and recruitment challenges. So if you can approve this contract, it will support the continuity we need for our students and preserve the institutional knowledge and demonstrate that we value professionalism and excellence in education. Thank you.
Anybody else in the public like to speak? Yeah, just come up and say your name and address.
Candace LaBelle, 298 Cherry Street, Naugatuck, Connecticut. I'm a 23-year veteran at Irving School. I want to talk about a few years ago, the city of Derby invested in a program called Foundations Reading, and you spent a bunch of money to have trainers come in and train teachers in Foundations Reading, an amazing program. I'm the last standing teacher at Irving School that you spent the money on for that training. Every single other teacher that you all paid for to get that training, they've left and gone somewhere else for more money. You continue to bring amazing programs. You have an amazing superintendent and a board of education that pays for IM training or bookworms training or all these other trainings. It's like you guys buy a car, you pay for all the extras, and you watch the car drive off the lot and you put another base model on. It's going to continue to happen. You're going to continue to invest in training, and you're going to continue to have teachers drive away with that training and take your money right out of Derby to Orange, to Milford, to all those other towns. So if you'd like to keep your money that you're spending on training here in Derby, you're gonna have to pay the teachers, or you're gonna continually watch that money drive right out of Derby that you pay for the training. I'm your last standing teacher at Irving Elementary School. There's only two teachers at Irving that have more seniority than me, but I'm the last standing teacher that you paid for foundations for, that you paid for Literacy How for. So you need to think about, if you're going to invest, if you want the scores in Derby to go up, and you're going to invest in training so that your teachers can provide the best curriculum and the best education possible, if you want that training, because it's money you're putting in human resources, right? You're not buying a computer. You're buying someone to come in and train a teacher, but then that teacher drives away to get more money somewhere else. So if you want those teachers to stay here with the money you're investing in them, all the extras you're putting in them, then you're going to have to pay for them to stay here. And it makes me sad. It breaks my heart. I stay in Derby because I love Derby, because I love the kids at Irving School. Everybody knows that knows, like, I've had some of your kids, you know, on that every single thing and go to all the stuff, but that's not what you're getting with your younger teachers. They're looking for their future, their own future, which I understand, but you're going to have to pay them if you want them to stay. And you're investing money in them. You wouldn't invest money in your house and then let your house go away. You don't invest money in your car and let it go away. So if you're investing money in your teachers and you want them to stay here, you're going to have to pay them to stay here. And I really hope you do, because I love Derby and I would love to see the teachers stay here and us continue to grow. Thank you for hearing me this evening.
Thank you. Anybody else in the public like to speak?
Ken Marcuccio, 38 Chatfield Street, Derby. Jimmy pretty much hit everything on the head. Regardless of what the business is, whether it's education or regular business, if you're not competitive with your salaries, you're not going to get good people to fill the positions. And we've struggled with that for years. We're very sympathetic. Everybody on the board is very sympathetic with the financial constraints that Derby has. That's been the forever deal. I thought for 36 years it was the same back then as it is now. It's just not a big town, and small towns have that problem. But as Jimmy said, we make it work. We've always made it work. But I don't think this is the place that we should do it. If you look at the sheets that were given, I know the mayor was given the sheets, comparing us to other towns in our derg and in the valley, we're pretty much in the middle on most of them. A couple of them are a little above middle, a couple of them are below middle, but for the most part, we're in the middle of the pack, which is decent if you pass this. So I appreciate your time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Marcuccio. Anybody else from the public like to speak? Anybody else from the public like to speak? Third and final time. Anybody else from the public like to speak?
Yes, Karen Chemises. I didn't know if there was somebody in the room, so that's why I was waiting.
No, no problem, Karen. How are you?
Very good. I'm impressed with the turnout here. I wish I would see this many people every month. We certainly need to have our small community well represented at every meeting so that we can understand the needs and we can have good conversations to bring about a better derby. That being said, I will question about this homestead exemption. I see that it's for discussion over only, which I appreciate. Last month's quick pushing through with the ordinances, I thought was a little bit too fast and possibly out of order. There was no discussion prior to anything. It just was moved forward, and that was distressing because we really had no idea.
Karen? Loser, Mark?
Have you mute, Karen?
It wasn't me, I swear.
Karen, did you hit mute by accident?
No.
Oh. I'd like to leave. If she does come back on, we'll give her a chance to speak, if that's okay with everybody. Okay.
Did you get any of that or did we lose you?
You lost us.
Okay.
If you can go again, that would be great.
Okay. Did you get to the part where I said the original application for homestead exemption?
Yes.
Okay. On that page, there's no page number, so I can't reference it any more succinctly. But if you look down towards the third half of the page, there's a table that says proof of residence. And in that table, it says previous residency outside New Milford and date terminated. I never lived in New Milford, so I don't know how to fill that in, but I'm sure that's just an oversight. I wanted to have more clarity also, though, as far as these percentages that you were going to do and how the applications get renewed automatically. And I wanted to know, was the percentage going to be something you're deciding on as a standard percentage across the board for everyone? Or is there going to be a sliding number depending on whatever qualifications you're setting? So all of these things, as I say, are questions that I hope can be discussed in much more length than we did those ordinances last month so that we can get a very good product coming forward. And my other question is, as we're moving for the reevaluation, is the GIS that's online, is that ever going to be updated? Because that is listing on the page that it's updated every Sunday. And of course, we know that it is not. It hasn't been updated for the last year and a half. So I would like to hear a little bit more as we move forward as to what's going on with the reevaluation, how we're implementing everything, and how it's affecting all of the information that we have within City Hall. Thank you.
Thank you, Karen. If you stay on the meeting tonight, 8.3, Our finance director, Brian Hall, will be giving a presentation on that Homestead Act. So I hope you're staying to listen. Anybody else in the public like to speak?
I would like to speak. Megan Torelli, 17 K Lane, Wallingford, Connecticut. Graduate okay. school teacher. I just want to say that I grew up, my grandfather was in the Valley. He worked in Antonio as a principal. And I just feel like there are teachers here who are committed because we've always been here. But I want to reiterate the fact that we're not comparable to some of these other districts. Like, we have the heart, we want to do it, but we just don't have the resources. And it just is getting harder to get those teachers to stay. And being in here, I'm 10 plus years now. And I know that that's a lot of the commitment of having that, you know, the salary increase. We're not competitive. Even when I was a substitute, what Derby used to pay versus other districts, it's not comparable. And we can't get subs in our school. We can't get these positions. So I think that needs to be taken accounted for. And that's all.
Okay, thank you.
For that last speaker, can you please give your name and address for the record one more time? It wasn't clear.
Megan Torelli, 17 Gay Lane, Wallingford.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else in the public like to speak? Anybody else in the public like to speak? Third and final time, anybody else in the public like to speak? Hearing none, public portion is now closed. Six, administrative appointments. 6.1, approval of minutes, no action. 6.2, refund of taxes. Move to approve monthly tax refunds in the amount of $5,244.48, dated January 7th, 2026. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Made by Rob. Is there a second?
Roberto.
Second by Roberto. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 6.3, appointments of boards and commissions, no action. Seven, committee reports and recommendations. There were no committees that met last month, so we can move on to 8. 8.1, new business. Vendor license for James Caprio of Jim's Ice Cream. Move to approve vendor license of James Caprio of Jim's Ice Cream for one ice cream truck. Do I have a motion? Made by George. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by, who was that? Arthur, I'm sorry. Arthur, thank you. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. 8.2, disposition of obsolete equipment in the Derby City Hall. Move to approve the disposal of obsolete equipment dated January 7, 2026, as recommended by Mayor Joseph DiMartino. Is there a motion? Made by Roberto. Is there a second? Second by Amy. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. 8.3, homestead property tax exemption. Presentation only, no action. Mr. Hall, you're up.
Thank you, everyone. I'm Brian Hall. I'm the finance director for the City of Derby. Mark, you want to put up a presentation or should I just... If folks want to follow along, otherwise I'm happy to kind of just go through the deck. The homestead exemption is a relatively new option that the Connecticut municipalities now have in order to adopt an ordinance that provides a property tax exemption for owner-occupied residential dwellings. It was really only authorized as of July 1st, 2024. Only so far, Milford has passed it, and Karen, I apologize. We are still working through, obviously, some of the edits in the ordinance, and we will fix that. But I appreciate you calling that out. In general, we just talk about property revaluations. You know, this occurs every 5 years by Connecticut state law. Derby's no different than everyone else. What it does is basically you have a periodic update of your assessed property values based on current market conditions. And when we mean current market conditions, we mean actual sales that occurred in your streets and neighborhoods. And based on those actual sales, we come up with a new market value. At that point, 70% of that becomes your assessed value. All of the data was posted online, and if you do get a chance to go through it, there is one of the tabs that has all of the actual sale prices and then what the new kind of market value is. And what you'll find is for the vast majority of them, the actual market value is below those sales prices. So there was an effort made to try to adjust things as much as you're allowed to, as from an assessor standpoint, those were actual sales, to bring it down a little bit below that. But net net, overall, everything was up 60% on average. Now, obviously, there's going to be some that's more and some that's less in different parts of town, but on average, it was up 60%. That includes residential and commercial. So, you know, what does that mean? Well, obviously, we need to decrease the mill rate. I know a lot of folks are concerned. They saw their new market value and their new assessed value, and they assume that, oh, if the mill rate's not going to change, and now my taxes are going to maybe double because I'm up 100%. Well, that's not what's going to happen, right? We're going to lower the mill rate, but how much we lower the mill rate and what we do about it is, you know, what we're working through right now with the budget. The problem that Derby has, and unfortunately, and it's just purely because of revaluation, when you lower the mill rate, we're already so high, as everybody knows. Because we're high, there's some money we get from the state and grants for motor vehicle cap. So when you're above the motor vehicle cap, as high as Derby was, the state will provide you funds, almost $1.2 million. If we bring that, you know, mill rate down closer to the cap, we're going to lose that $1.2 million. All right. So that's money we got to find. That's, you know, a little under two mils, just because the state's going to take that away purely because of just how, you know, revaluation works. You know, that's a real shame and that's a real problem. The other issue is that, you know, personal property. So a lot of our small businesses in town, you know, yes, they get revalued, but they didn't go up 60%, right? They're going to stay pretty close to what they were. Maybe we'll go up a little bit, 10% or something. But what's going to happen now is the mill rate's going to come down. So a lot of the small businesses are going to get a nice tax break, all right? Again, nothing you can do. It's just a function of how revaluation works. You're not allowed to set the mill rate for one group one way, or the mill, you know, one for commercial or one for personal property. You're not allowed to. You have one rate. This is the first opportunity that you have to actually do a little bit of something to try to shift that burden away from folks that, you know, living in their homes and paying taxes, their residents, and they own their homes. So, you know, that's why we want to consider this, and I hope you will. But, you know, as we said, that personal property, there's another almost $1 million. So we've got almost a $2 million hole right out of the gate to lower the mill rate, which we have to do, right? So that's the big challenge, right? And that's why, even if nothing else changes, even if we kept everything flat in the budget everywhere, okay, we still got to find over $2 million. So what does that mean? Homestead exemption, like I said, gives us a chance to shift some of this increased tax burden that is going to occur. All right. It allows this board to pick an exemption, not less than 5% or not more than 35% of assessed value. The ordinance will leave it generic as that. And we will wait until we get the final numbers, and there will be another presentation, you know, before we land on what that percent is. I've got some examples in here, but again, they were just examples. The reason why you're going to do it that way is, one, obviously you're going to have flexibility in the future to change that up, down, however you need to, without passing a new ordinance. Also, though, you know, it just allows us, it buys us some time. And then I need to get notifications out. The residents need to be made aware that this is an option. They obviously have to apply for this. As Karen mentioned, there's going to be roughly six potential ways to prove you're a Derby resident. You have to provide three of them. But this is going to be a big strain on the assessor's office. We really try to gear it to be as simple as possible from an administrative standpoint, so that we don't end up spending a ton of money to try to execute on this plan. So I talk about 20 grand, all the letters got to go out to all the residents. I expect there's at least 3,000 residents that would potentially qualify for this exemption. And so, as you can imagine, 3,000 residents coming in, showing all of their IDs or getting online. If it's not structured, if it's not very straightforward what you need to do, it's going to be extremely difficult to administer and very costly. So while I recognize that in a perfect world, maybe some residents get a bigger break than others, depending on how long you've been here, I just very concerned with how would we actually administer that. We don't have a lot of time. At this point, if I don't get the letters out soon, people need time to be able to apply. We need to be able to get everything in the system. Then I need to get the bills out. The worst thing is, what if the bills don't go out by July? So we've got a very compressed time frame. We just don't have a lot of flexibility to add a whole bunch of different optionality with this plan. So, that's why it's been kind of drafted as it is, where everyone in theory would get the exact same benefit if you qualified, same percentage. Now, again, that percentage will be determined later on based on, additional information when we get some final numbers with personal property and motor vehicle. But nonetheless, that's how that would work. This exemption would only apply to owner-occupied dwellings, which would include condominiums. It would include, you have to be the primary residence. It must consist of no more than two units, so one or two family. Again, that is per the ordinance. Those are the options they gave you, the state gave us. And so this is what we've laid out for you. Talk a little bit on the next slide, Mark, for just how does the math work, just for everybody kind of sees it. You start with your market value, and then you have the 70% to get to your assessed value, all right? Now, that's not going to change, right? The market values are out there. The assessed values are going to be what they are. None of that's going to change. That's why it's all published. This option has absolutely nothing to do with that. What happens is after that, okay, now we maybe give that assessed value a haircut for what we're going to multiply times the mill rate to come up with what the tax is. And so in this example, the 5% on a $300,000 assessed value, you'd get a $15,000 taxable value reduction. That doesn't mean your taxes are down $15,000. That means the amount of the number that we're going to multiply times the mill rate is going to be reduced by $15,000. In the 35% scenario, the number we're going to multiply by the mill rate would go down by 105,000, so a bigger number, which would obviously have a different impact. But these are sort of your ranges, and that's how the math works. And I just want to kind of point out and reiterate that, again, everything that's online is about the market value, the assessed value. This has nothing to do with that. So then we get to kind of a more realistic scenario of what we're looking at. So we'll start with we do nothing. We're all where we are. We're 60% increases across the board on residential, homestead, commercial, really everywhere. Okay. What would that mean? Well, it would mean that, in these two particular scenarios, again, I'm trying to solve for the same amount of taxes collected. In this case, a little under $3.4 million. Why is that important? It's just really because we have to make sure, in the two scenarios, I'm comparing apples to apples. And I want you to understand, this is, trying to reduce as many variables as possible, basically. So we're solving for the same tax rate. In this case, if I go from a 0.043, which is our current mill rate, down to a 0.03, what does it mean? Well, unfortunately, you know, taxes are still going to go up. As we talked about, we have to find at least 2 million. In this case, it's 3.37, but there will likely be some other increases that we need to cover. I know medical costs, now that we're in the partnership, was a great baseline to help us, but you know, we don't have any control over what the increase is going to be. Could be 5%, could be 10%, could be 15%. You don't know what it's going to be. So, but it will increase, I will tell you that. So we're going to have some cost increases in different buckets. So we have to find money. So in this example, again, looking for a little 3.4 million. What does that mean? Well, it's going to go about 11.5% overall. You know, I've identified the two different buckets, the residential homestead bucket versus other, which is mostly commercial, and then your 3 and 4 family houses. The 3 or 4 family houses already have gone up, so that's why, you know, as a percentage, they're going to go up a little bit more than the residentials. But overall, it's 11.5%, and then everybody's kind of going up the same thing. You're looking at double digits. It's going to be similar to the, you know, unfortunately, when the administration started, what we had to do to get back on track. So, you know, you're not talking double, but if in your mind you want to think, okay, if we do nothing, what's going to happen? It's probably going to be an increase similar to what we had a couple years ago. And as I said, well, where's this 3.4 million going to go? Well, this example, I've lost the entire motor vehicle cap tax funds, all 1.2 million of it, because now at this point, I'm below the motor vehicle cap of 3.26. Personal property, right? So who's going to get the big break? All the small business owners with their personal property, their taxes are going to come down dramatically because the assumption right now is their personal property isn't going to go up anywhere near 60%, maybe a little bit, I've assumed flat, but not. That's a big money. So you're almost talking 2.4 million right there. And then in addition, well, I've even gone down below what the motor vehicle cap is. So now people are getting paid less on their cars than they did before. So not a lot. I don't think it'd be noticed, but it's again, another couple hundred grand. So just more headwinds to try to figure out just as a function of mill rate coming down to try to offset the increase in the market value. So net was, I got 600,000 to cover other things in the budget before we even start, right? So all these things I know, now I've got to try to cover healthcare costs, any costs in any other departments, education, anywhere. I got 600 grand. It's not very much money. Probably not even going to work. Probably would have to go up even more than what's here. All right. So let's look at the scenario next page where we talk about with homestead and what would it mean. So again, we're solving for the exact same 3.4 million, but this time the mill rate, and again, I've assumed 17%, right in the middle. Just happened to work that way. Makes the math work. I go from 0.043 to 0.034. All right, so the other scenario was 0.03, now it's 0.034. Same 11.5% increase in total. But now you've shifted who's getting the increase, right? So now the residents that qualify for the homestead, they're only going up 3.5%. I mean, that's barely more than inflation. And look, it's an increase, no doubt, but it's something that will be, I'm sure, far more palatable to the vast majority of the residents in Derby. Now, the commercial and some of the 3, 4 families with the renters, they're going to see a significant increase, no question, because it's got to come from somewhere. Again, we're solving for the same dollars. So if it doesn't come from the residents, then it's going to come out of the commercial and the 3 and 4 families. Now, on the commercial side, what you can say is, well, the small businesses are going to have less taxes anyway on their personal property. If the rents go up a little bit, that's somewhat of a wash. A lot of them probably already have, you know, the rents locked in. So, you know, to be determined how that necessarily impacts things, but you know, I would estimate that it's probably a minimal impact on the actual commercial development and in Derby overall. So let's get back to where's this 3.4 going? What's got to go to these variables that we can't control? Well, I didn't go all the way down below the motor vehicle cap, so I didn't lose the full 1.2 million. I only lost a little under 1.1 million. Personal property, again, they don't get quite as big a break. So now it's only 900,000. And the little motor vehicle, the 103, that's really just a function of, based on what happened last year with some of the changes, your motor vehicle is going to depreciate by an extra 5% each year. So this just assumes the normal 5% runoff that's going to happen. That's also baked into the last scenario. So everything here is apples to apples, just based on where we're going to land this new mill rate. Net, that leaves $1.3 million to cover some of these other expenses we talked about. So what have we accomplished, right? We've shifted the tax burden. We've freed up some more tax dollars to use to cover some expenses that we're very likely going to have when we get through the budget cycle. And hopefully the vast majority of the Derby residents are spared from significant increases in their taxes. That was the intent of the ordinance. This is the math to help everybody understand how and why it would work. Again, we're not asking anybody now or in the future to land on the 17% number. It's more of, when you see the ordinance, you have the range. This is what you can do. Before any of it gets executed, we have to come back to this board to land on that. However, once the ordinance is passed, we start to get the communications out. We can basically at that point start to get all the applications in and work through that process while we finalize some of the assessment on the personal property, motor vehicle, and I start to get a better handle around the budget and some other factors, and you have a real full view of what's going on. You know, that said, I think these two scenarios are pretty realistic as far as at least certainly the math and how everything that's going to work. But you know, point being, you're not going to be a million miles off, I think, when it's all said and done. So just lastly, to summarize everything, right? This wouldn't come for free. There would be a cost. We have to do all the mailings. We're going to have to hire some temporary staff down in the assessor's office to process the potentially 3,000 applications that are going to come in. I'm estimating about 20 grand. We'll see. This is kind of new for everybody. Obviously, myself, my team, we'll jump in to help where we can. It's going to be a pretty small window of time, depending on when all this gets approved and I can start to move on things. I'd like to give the residents as much as possible, but I have to be mindful that we have to process these and get the bills out for July 1. So we don't have forever. And, you know, the sooner we get everything approved, I get the letters out, the more time I can allow for residents to apply. Now, let's say you missed the application for whatever reason. It doesn't mean that you've lost it for now 5 years. And you can reapply next year and you would get the break next year. Every 5 years, everyone would have to reapply at revaluation. There will have to be revoted on potentially the rate that we're giving. So, you know, we can't keep it open forever, obviously, but at this point, like we're saying, it's, you know, it's not if you miss it, you're done forever. You miss it, you can still apply the next year. We talked a little bit about the three of the six items: the valid license, motor vehicle registration, voter registration. Address is listed, the Connecticut state of income tax return, proof of payment of utilities, proof of voter registration. All things I'm sure are very common understanding, hopefully straightforward for everyone. You get three of six. The assessor can easily figure it out. Great. Yep, check the box. You get the break. There are obviously, we're going to have to put some restrictions in place to make sure that there's no abuse with this particular break. You know, you can't be getting residents based on property tax relief in another municipality or state. You can't be renting your residence. If you sell your property, then obviously the new owner would have to apply. It doesn't automatically just transfer over to the new owner. And then, you know, there'll be penalties if there's fraudulent receipt of the benefit and we're looking to recoup what was owed. Those are the main kind of highlights of this particular exemption. And I thank you for your time. If there's anyone who has any questions.
I have one question with respect to you have a tax exemption or abatement in one program, and then you apply for this program. Would there be a conflict of getting both, or Yoda could use one or the other?
Yeah, correct. That, you know, if you're getting some other benefits, let's say for veterans disability, I mean, in that case, you're getting 100%, right? So there's, if you're not paying anything, you're not paying anything. But yeah, if there's other ones, you're not going to be able to kind of continue to piggyback. And that was one of the, some of the languages I have to work out with corporate counsel on the final draft word, but it's a very good point. Yeah.
Any other questions?
Brian, is there anything, first of all, thank you for going through that. Is there anything that states in here like that a resident must be up to date on their current taxes, no back taxes, no, in order to apply, or is...
So we haven't finalized anything. I did not see that in the ordinance from New Milford. I mean, that's obviously kind of where we started. I think it's a very great point, and it's something we can certainly talk about in the next couple of weeks as we're trying to finalize what this could look like.
Anybody else? All right. Thank you, Brian. Great presentation.
Thank you.
Okay, number 9, old business, no action. 10, executive session. 10A, collective bargaining agreement between the Derby Board of Education and the Derby Education Association. 7/1/26 to 6/30/2030. Labor contract negotiations. And B, 2 Factory Street property acquisition. I'd like to invite Corporation Counsel, Brian Hall, Linda Fusco, and Dr. Conway into executive session with us. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Made by George. There's a second. Second by Robin. Any discussion? All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. 7:48.
All right. For the folks on Zoom, we're going to just turn off the camera and mute the mic here because all the members are in the room who are participating. And when it's time, we'll turn it back on. And the people in the room will ask to step outside.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion to come out of his executive session at 8:57 p.m. Do I have a motion?
Roberto.
Roberto made it. Second?
Second, Sarah.
Second, Sarah. All in favor? Opposed? Motion carries. No glasses. All right. Number 11, regular session, action on executive session, collective bargaining agreement between the Derby Board of Education and the Derby Education Association. Dated 7/1/26 to 6/30/2030. Discussion and possible action. Do I have motion?
I make a motion that the board of aldermen through the city of Derby and the mayor enter into an agreement with the collective bargaining agreement between the Derby Board of Education, the Derby Education Association, 07/01/2026 to 06/30/2030.
Can I, Mr. President, make a just a,
yes.
Do a suggested motion on this? Because the city is actually not the party to this contract. It's going to be the Board of Education. So it would be a motion, you could say approve, the proposed contract between the Derby Board of Education and the Derby Education Association for 7/1/2026 to 6/30/2030.
Make okay. that in the form of a motion, George, right?
Yes. Mark, you got that?
Is there a second?
Yes.
Second.
Second, Robin. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
I repeat that.
One recuse.
One recuse.
Number 12, motion to adjourn. Okay. Roberto.
Did Doc want to say something?
Doc, want to say?
I want to say thank you.
You're welcome, Doc. All right, motion to adjourn at 9 o'clock made by Roberto. Is there a second?
Second.
Second, George. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.